Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Beautiful day. Beautiful people. Great time in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Got a lot of good plans, I guess, looks like, for this coming week, starting tonight, I guess, for the young people. And we used to have these in the past. We used to have these young Identification Bible School activities, and it was always a great time. What's the sermon this morning?
On the rock.
What do you think that's talking about? Right. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he was talking about what Peter had said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This morning we're going to talk about that rock. And we're going to talk about where we should build. On the rock. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. How many of you remember that old song that we used to sing as kids? The wise man built his house upon a rock. How many of you know that? Well, quite a few of you do. Why don't we sing it just for the fun of it? Take us back to the little kid days, huh? Oh, the wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood fast. So I'll be, let those who all know the motions stand up and turn around, and we'll take the next verse. Oh, yes, yes, come on, come on. Come on, stand up. Everybody who knows the motions. And all the rest of you try to fill in. Great. Oh, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down, the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went crash. So, build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. You are found of my Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it takes you back a few years, huh? At least it does me. 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 11 says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the real foundation. Ephesians 2:19 through 22 says, now therefore, Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Great thought. Isaiah 28:16, clear back in the Old Testament. Isaiah spoke concerning that foundation. He said, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay on Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believes on him shall by no means be ashamed. That was a wonderful thought. We don't have to be ashamed if we believe on Christ. If we build on that foundation, we've got something solid that's going to last when everything else falls away. Matthew 7:26 says, and every one that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Picture of house is built on sand, and the results. Now, what is, when it says sand, what is it talking about? You know, we talk about, you don't want to build a house on the beach, come up and get washed away. A lot of people have down there in some of those areas, and the wind comes, and pretty soon you see the whole thing begin to lean, a sloppy angle. So what do we talk about when we say sand? Give me some examples of what you would perceive as being the wrong kind of foundation, the sandy foundation for people's lives. Anybody have some ideas?
Money.
You got to talk loud.
Money.
Ah, yeah. Bible talks about that one a lot. I'm going to talk about that too. Money. A lot of people want money. If I've got money, then I've got it made. Yes, Chris. Our own abilities, relying upon ourselves, our own strength, and pretty soon it's gone. I know, I can testify to it. And what else?
Our own righteousness,
right? Righteousness relying upon our goodness won't make it. What?
What today's culture finds acceptable.
Okay. Culture of today. That what everybody else likes and thinks and so on.
Lust.
The desires to have pleasures and all of those kind of things, right? Anything else? All kinds of things people rely on. This, you know, when they had the recession, some people were jumping out windows. They lost their money. Too bad. Everything's gone. Never stopped to think. That's how you started. Came into this world. Didn't have it then, did you? Okay, we don't have to have it. You know, we can start over and have all kinds of problems. When they, down there in the Gulf area, when they had the tornado or the hurricanes, a lot of people gave up. So let's take a look. I just have a few things. You folks have given some better ones actually than I have given here, but I'm going to share with you some. Well, one thing I think of is signs and miracles. You know, there are a lot of people religiously today are relying upon miracles, and so they make these claims but what about in the Bible? What did the Bible say? It's not that it was wrong in the Bible, but what was the foundation? Matthew 7, 22 and 23 says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils," or demons, "and in thy name done many mighty works," many wonderful works. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." This passage is just before the passage that talks about building on the rock instead of on the sand. And it's using it in that context. It's saying, don't rely on people come along and claiming miracles and signs and all those kind of things. That isn't the basis for your faith. We have God's secure basis that He's given us, hearing the words of Jesus. And what? What?
Doing them.
It isn't enough to just listen, be listeners. It isn't enough to just come and sit in church. We need to do them. Do what Jesus said, and that's what works. Wisdom of men. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." You talk with people on the online, you know, I do quite a bit sometimes. And what do they have to say? Well, they've got to tell you all about evolution, and the Bible is just a figment of somebody's imagination. They have all kinds of different explanations and what they should do. You know, we don't homosexual behavior is fine, it's okay. Marriage of homosexual marriages, and you can go on and on and on. There's one thing after another they trash in the scriptures. You can kill your babies, you can do whatever, and all of this is rationalized. They think they've got it figured, but and they think the preaching of the cross is to them, it is foolishness. But to us is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." God said, "I'm going to destroy all these people's wisdom that think that they know better. They're wiser. They have all the answers." You know, throughout history, it's always been that way. People always think that their latest culture. We're just reading the Judges, and in those days, clear back there, people who were looking at the other nations and the ideas and their religions and things like that, and they thought they had some good things in it, and they turned away from God. Well, God is going to be right. In Romans, the third chapter, it says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." God is going to be right in the end. All these rationalizations and imaginations and guesses, claims and the things they try, in the end, God is still going to be right. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's how it's going to happen. That's how salvation comes. And all the rest of this is going to pass away. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's the real thing. because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. People think they know better, they're smarter, they got a different way, and they try them out, and they don't work time after time after time, and later on, well, we got to make a change and try something else. No flesh. We're not going to be saved by our own righteousness, by our own wisdom. Here's another one. Preachers who please ears. 1 Timothy 4, 1-6 says, "And I charge thee therefore before God," speaking to Timothy, "and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick," or the living, really is the proper translation, "and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Right here. Preach this. This is the word. Be urgent. Be urgent about it. This is important. It's a matter of life and death. It's in more than that, it's a matter of eternal destiny. Preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. When it isn't popular, rebuke. People don't like that one. Don't you judge me. Don't tell me how to do my what thing. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Rebuke, it says. Exhort. That's to encourage those who will think properly. With all long suffering and doctrine, or teaching. The word doctrine means teaching. Stick with it. Suffer long at it. Be faithful to it until death. And God will give you a crown of life. For all long-suffering and teaching. Just keep teaching. People won't listen. Keep teaching. If they will listen, keep teaching. And go right and teach what God said. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That is, because they have itching ears, they heap to themselves teachers who will scratch their ears. That's why I often refer to those who don't like what God says. They can go down the street to the church of the itching ears. That's basically what they're doing. I'll go where I get to be told what I like. Oh, it's nice for me to be told that I'm okay. You're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. You know, if we'll just, I've often thought about that so many times. We could have a huge church if we just get up here and tell everybody how good they were, no matter how rotten they are. If we told them what they wanted to hear, people would flock in. They love to be deceived. They love to be fooled. That's what Paul said. He said, "You bear with fools gladly." And isn't that the truth? Having itching ears. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That's what they did in the Bible. The call through the Old Testament. Jesus said, "Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute?" They turned unto fables. They listened to what Jeremiah says, that they say, preach unto us smooth things. Prophesy unto us deceits. You know, people love that. They'll come, you see them, look on television, you see them, thousands of them coming to be somebody to blow on them and blow them over. And they all fall down. People love that kind of stuff. And they had here a while back, a few years ago, they had this holy laughter. Everybody laughed, laughed, and laughed. God was making them all laugh. And anything that pleases the ego, or that they can be deceived and deluded into, they love that stuff. Turn unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Keep your eyes open. Don't be fooled by anybody. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Hey, if it's tough, sometimes it's going to hurt. You know, I'd like to tell you that everything we ever do, if you're faithful to the Lord, you will always feel good. You know, I can't tell you that. I think we do feel good many times, and a lot of times even in trials. But I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes things are hurt. Sometimes it's painful. I don't like to tell people when they're doing wrong. You know, I hate that. I hate to have confrontations with people. And sometimes you just have to say, you have sinned. That's what it says. You have sinned, the scripture says. And sometimes we just need to face up to that and say the truth. Then do the work of an evangelist. What an evangelist to do? Carry the message. Make full proof of thy ministry. Be faithful unto death. That sometimes is hard when your friends sometimes turn against you, give you a bad time, don't tell the truth about you, or tell falsehoods. And we all want to feel good. It's wonderful. But if we're doing wrong, it's wrong and before God. And those who preach the truth need to say so, even if it hurts. Because, you know, like in the Old Testament, the Bible says, in Proverbs, it says, he that doesn't chastise his child doesn't love his child. Love isn't always telling people what they want to hear. Sometimes love is giving them a good swat on the bottom. I did that with my kids, and it made a lot of difference, believe me. I didn't have to duke it out with them when they got older. You know, some people only hit their kids in self-defense. We started little, got the things dealt with then, and then I never had any of my kids ever defy me. They didn't always do what I said. You know, they had learned some things by experience. But that swat on the bottom I gave them was a part of their experience, too. And it made a difference. Riches. Somebody mentioned riches, yeah. Riches. That one's mentioned a lot of times in the New Testament. Matthew 6, 19-24. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth. Jesus said this. Where moth and rust is corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Get your riches in the right place. Get the right kind of riches. You can't lay gold and silver up in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What you value is where your heart is going to be. What you place as the important thing in your life is going to be your God. You know, the scripture says that covetousness is idolatry. Because a person is really making wealth more important than God. It's the God. They're God. People go out and gamble. Man, I'm going to get rich. I always think that's the most foolish concept. They're just even being taken advantage of by a lot of ripoffs. If I ran a business and you only got the product and one in 30 million, you'd think I was a robber, wouldn't you? Why do people get fooled with that kind of stuff? Keep your eyes open. Your treasure, get your treasure in the right place. Get the right thing as valuable. Jesus Christ is the valuable thing. That's the thing that's going to last. It isn't going to wipe out, and it isn't going to rot and corrupt. Some thief isn't going to break through and steal it. Hopefully, maybe he would. Might do him some good. But that's not the way it works. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. You cover your eyes. You can take a silver dollar and you can put it up in front of your eyes and you can't see anything in the whole world. Blind as a bat. People have such... They need to get their eyes open and keep the things out of it that's destroying their vision. Get your eyes on, the scripture says in Colossians, the third chapter says, get your eyes on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's where you need to get your eyes on. Look at the right things. In Philippians, it says, I think it's 4:8. It says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are... What else? Okay, all these good things. He said, think on these things. Get your eye on the right things, and you'll think right. You get your eyes on the wrong things, and you'll see wrong. You'll think wrong. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Inside. You know, it's bad enough to be not able to see a lot of things in the world. But if you're dark on the inside, that's a terrible darkness. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So if money is your God, how can God be your God? You're going to serve one or the other. You've got to hit a priority. That doesn't mean that money is a bad thing. But it has to be secondary to God. Well, actually, it should be a father down the line even than that. Because you got other priorities too. But so many times people get it all out of kilter. And they can't see God, and they don't serve Him because they're serving what I want. Luke 12:16-21 says, and He spoke this parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I got it all figured out. Wow! I can really take it easy. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's a lot of people's philosophy. I hear a lot of times people quoting it. Yeah, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, you fool. God said, "You fool, this night your soul shall be required of you, and then who shall all these things be which you have provided?" If you go back and read Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, Solomon, who was one of the richest men, wisest men at the time, he says concerning this, he said, "You work and you, I tried riches and I thought it was a great thing. And then the question," he said, "came to me, when I'm gone, who's going to get it?" He says, "It may be a fool. And you have no control over it when you're dead." And that's the thing. People look at what are these fellows fighting over their riches after they're dead. And what was this? Who was this guy that just recently, or not too long, it's been a while now, he was one of the hugely rich, and he was getting pretty old, so some little gal, she thought, well, good deal. And so she became his caretaker and married him, and he ended up giving her half his wealth. Then everybody didn't want here to have it, and they fought in the courts, and of course the lawyers got an awful lot of it. You know, not very smart when you have the wrong God. "You fool, this night." And then what? What are you going to do? The Bible, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures on the earth, but lay it up in heaven, where it's going to do you some good." You know, a lot of people are going to get there and they're going to find that they're poverty stricken. Or they're probably not even going to get there, actually. They're going to find there isn't anything up there left. And we don't have anything for you. Sorry, you didn't send anything ahead. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want to ask you this morning, are you rich toward God? I know you aren't rich in this world. None of us are. We don't have any Bill Gates here. But are you rich in heaven? That you don't have to have a lot of money to get rich up there. You know, you just got to send it on ahead. That's all. You got to get something into the treasury. So what are you doing with the things you've got in your life so that you've got something up there waiting for you? Are you rich toward God? Well, then there's a family. A lot of people have, family's the most important thing. Man, I've got to feed my wife, my kids, and my relatives, and all those other kinds of things. Well, I don't see anything wrong with wanting to make people happy and, you know, take care of them and give them a candy bar once in a while, you know, or whatever. But I'll tell you, there's something more important than family. When you think of family, you need to think of the family of God. Matthew 10:37-39 says, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." When I became a Christian, I had to leave my family. They went one direction and I went the other. And you know, I've never regretted it. They've got a mess. Their lives are a mess. All kinds of problems. You know, my life is a blessing to me. God has been so good to me. Every day I wonder, when's he going to just take it all away like Job did? You know, Job, the devil said, "Why, you built a fence around him, a hedge around him. And you give him all this, why shouldn't he serve you?" Well, I agree with that, you know. God's been so good to you, you certainly ought to appreciate it. But, you know, we need to serve him because he's God, too. And if we love our family more than God, you know, I've had people tell me that, oh, my family comes first. Well, you know, not, God comes first. Your family didn't give you everything. But if you have God first, you will put your family ahead of all the other junk that goes on in the world. Your family's going to get the best because God is providing it for you. You'll love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. You won't be a selfish bloke. You know, you're going to be giving and helping and caring for your family if you love God. Scripture says, he that doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. He's denied the faith. Worse than an infidel. Yeah, you know, family's not going to lose out on anything. But if your family comes first, and you're not going to follow God or do what God said because, oh, I got my family to think of. Well, I'll tell you something. You aren't in the right family. And you're in big trouble. Because that family's going to go. And you're not doing them any service because you're not helping them to have to be in the true family where they're really going to get benefited. And he that taketh not up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. You know, take up his cross? Why, you mean that old beam with the slivers on it? You mean that I have to get bloodied and beaten? And what does that cross represent? Well, people like to wear these little gold ones, you know, that dangle around and they look kind of neat. Isn't that nice? That's the kind of cross they want to wear. Instead of the cross that results in shedding blood and sweat and tears, that's the cross that God called you to. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. People don't see that. They don't see the reality. This is an eternal issue. This is not something where you're just going to feel good for now. Luke 6:47 says, whosoever cometh to me and hears not my sayings, and hears my sayings, and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. You know, it takes some effort. You've got to dig to get down to the rock through all the trash and the sand and all the other stuff that is around all over. He dug deep and he laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it. It was founded on a rock. And so I ask you this morning, is your house on a rock? Or is it just going to be wiped away with the first or the second or the third wave that comes along? Do you want something solid? I find that God has the answers that work. It is solid. It's been tested over thousands of years with every kind of an attack on it, and it still stands. The Bible is the most printed book in the world, and it has the greatest influence of any religion in the world. And if people will listen to what it says, they won't have a lot of the problems that people have. This is the solution. And so many people, oh, that old book. You know, the Bible isn't 2,000 years behind. The Bible is thousands of years ahead of man's ideas and his rationalizations. Too many people today have been spocked instead of spanked. They've got the latest thing that doesn't work. And, well, what's wrong? Like Spock said, he said, we're to blame for the brightness of today's kids. Said that. People always got their new ideas, and they think it's better. But God has the things that work and have been proven over the centuries. And it'll work for your life. It'll work for my life. And when we fail to follow it, we will suffer. We have no hope. We have difficulties and pain and struggles. Things go wrong that wouldn't have gone wrong otherwise. Disease and all kinds of problems. If people would just do what the Bible says, be honest with each other, caring to each other, giving and helping, we wouldn't have one tenth of all the problems that we have today. We would have very few. Our problems come because we don't listen to God. Most everything, well, I'd say everything problems. Our problems are primarily either due to us failing to do what God said, or other people around us failing to do what God said. And then we get into trouble. And then we hurt. And then we say, where's God? Why didn't he take care of me? Well, where were you? What did you do for God? Why should he do anything for you? Think about those things. Build that house upon the rock. And when the winds of time and change and opinions of people and difficulties, problems that arise, when those things sweep through, the house may shake off some, and there may be a few shingles drop off the roof. But it's after the storm, you're going to stand. Make sense? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Morning, as we sing this song of invitation, let's be standing. Make a determination that your house is going to be on the solid rock of God's Word, Jesus Christ.